Hello, welcome to episode 53. Yep, 53. See, I forget every week, so at least you've got that continuity. Episode 53 of Mood Swings. This week, my guest is Keshna Nevins, I believe. Apologies if I've said that wrong. And she runs an IC project called Lyrical Life Lessons, which is to do with art, combining art with lyrics that, you know, people relate heavily to and feel say something or have had an effect on their mental health. But I won't talk too much about that because we get into that on the podcast, I believe. What else do we talk about? It was really cool sitting with Keshna and speaking about just music. She's sort of is a music fanatic, much like myself, and has done the whole travelling ridiculous lengths to go to gigs and seeing all sorts of bands at different times and stuff, so it was cool to listen to those stories. It's the second time as well that I've done a podcast quite hungover. Well, not the second time I've done a podcast quite hungover, but the second time in recent times, and where Rage Against the Machine has come up. So I don't know, something about my hangovers draws me to that Los Angeles band. Who knows what it could be. I'm going to keep the intros and outros pretty short this week. If you're a new listener, check out all Keshna's Lyrical Life Lessons stuff on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. That's all tagged in. But please go and find us as well. We are 365 Aberdeen on Twitter and Mood Swings Abs on Instagram. And just search 365 Aberdeen on Facebook. Although Facebook is a tyrant these days, so I find it hard to use for any sort of promotion. So I just don't really... As you can tell, I'm not in the best of moods this week, which is why I'm rattling off in this monotone, simply the facts, and not giving you much else. But that's okay. I'm going to see Jurassic World tonight at midnight, so maybe that'll improve my mood. A wee bit of a wee dinosaur roaring me into a state of terror at 1 a.m. Right. Enjoy the podcast. Like I say, this one's... We recorded a while... Oh, actually, there was one thing I want to talk about. We recorded this a while ago, the day after the last Anthony Joshua fight, whatever that was, that's the only way I can remember it. I've been sitting on it for a while because of the podcast for the Lemon Tree, etc. And just some other ones that I wanted to get out. And also, I don't know, I just ended up sitting on it for a while. We've got a couple from back in that Glasgow weekend that I've not released yet, actually. But this one, yeah, we speak about Frightened Rabbit a bit in it, and this was obviously long before the news of what was happening with Scott, so just bear that in mind when you listen to the podcast. There's not a lot, but the Frightened Rabbit do come up, and it's me that brings it up, and I'm speaking quite passionately about my love for that band, and I don't know, it was quite eerie for me to hear it almost back, because obviously it's me talking about something about Frightened Rabbit and how much I love them, and then obviously so much has changed in such quite a short space of time about obviously that band with what happened with Scott and stuff. It was quite eerie for me to listen to, but yeah, I just want everyone to be aware of that so they weren't caught off guard. Yeah. Enjoy the podcast. It's meant to be a short intro. Never works, does it?
Same, I just wanted to be like, I'm sitting here with Keshna, but then I wouldn't have, like, I didn't know your name, so I was like, I'm going to be sitting, sorry, who are you?
I'm sitting here with a complete stranger.
But we got there in the end. So I'm in Witherspoons again with Keshna from Lyrical Life Lessons. What are you saying? How are you doing?
I'm alright, how are you?
We don't need to talk about me today.
Not you. You
no,
don't want to talk about
me. No. So, how's it going in Glasgow today?
It's all right. I am having a weekend. Well, it's Easter weekend, so it's Salky Hill Street is currently jumping. I don't know what's going on along the street there. Did you see the big queue of people?
Outside, I think it's Nico's is the place. I've never even heard of it. I don't know what's going on.
I couldn't even get along the pavement. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. So yeah, this is my relaxing weekend with my family that I've dumped to spend with you.
Ah, wow. The other thing I keep noticing in here is there's loads of people like overdressed that are obviously clearly for the party up the road, but they've just gotten sick of the queue.
I know, I just don't know what it is, because I did kind of think it's probably an unders thing, because you know how they tend to be on in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm just showing the age. They all looked a lot older than 18, but maybe that's just...
I think it's just not there. I think they're just I'm going to go after this. I'm just going to get in the fucking queue. Like.
You've started already. You're just halfway in it already.
Me?
Just get a top up and you'll be fine.
No, I'm on the soft. I'm on the soft drinks.
No.
Well, yeah. Last night I was perhaps. So, yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about Local Life Lessons?
Yeah. Local Life Lessons is kind of a project that's grown arm's length. I'm an illustrator and pretty much all of my pieces are to do with music or lyrics. So I've got like a colouring book of Glasgow gig venues, and I do sketches of the venues, and I've got prints that are based on like Jeff Buckley lyrics or patches to do with poetry lyrics and things like that. So whenever I was talking to people about music that I was into or lyrics that meant something to me, I realised that the conversation is kind of on a deeper level than just your normal conversation. The minute you talk about music, you tend to talk about what things mean to you or what they remind you of. And then being a kind of eternal grunge girl, suffice to say I'm quite used to associating music with mental health or like the death of your idols, pretty much.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just trying to find a way to bring together images and art, kind of content to do with mental health in a way that's kind of accessible, and base that all around lyrics, just because they're kind of threads of my life that have always kind of been running in the background, but just to put them all together in one thing. So it was all just meant to be a website, but I wanted to partner up with a mental health charity. And I started speaking to the Glasgow Association for Mental Health, and they suggested maybe running some workshops with their groups about that and getting them to kind of open up to use creativity kind of as a like a therapy for one of things, like for respite for them, but also to give it a kind of quite a clear theme, so it wasn't just like come and make some pots or weave a basket type thing, but to do something that is probably more relatable to that age group.
Yeah.
So the group that I worked with were aged 16 to 25, so we did some workshops, and hopefully I'll do some more workshops. We put on an exhibition of their work, and I also put on a gig just to kind of launch the site. I don't know if that's something I'm going to go down putting on more gigs. I don't know, but yeah, it was just a way to kind of get bands involved, mental health charities involved, and I'd like to ideally in the future get more artists and designers involved. I don't just want it all to be kind of my work, if you know what I mean, because I think it would look better if there was like a variety of mediums and styles and stuff on the site. So that's where I would like it to go in the future.
Cool. Where was the workshop at?
The workshops were held in the south side of Glasgow, so it was in a building called Deaf Connections, but they just hired a space in there. So it ran for, it was supposed to be 4 weeks, but because of snow, we only had 3 weeks to make all the stuff for the exhibition. And it's a voluntary thing, like, so it was actually a young carers group, so they've obviously got other commitments in their life, so they can, but it's just, it's a 3 hour kind of block during the week that they can go and attend, and they do different things. Sometimes they do social events where they might go trampoline in. So we had kind of like a block of workshops where we worked on the idea of creating art about lyrics or songs that inspired them. So they made album covers. We got some blank album covers. They did album covers. A great kind of studio near the bar is called Wild and Kind. they're like, I think, a community interest project, so they helped us by producing blank patches. So they kind of designed some patches that we put on a jacket for the exhibition, and they did t-shirt designs, things like that. So we had quite a short amount of time to try and make our stuff for the exhibition. But they seemed quite into it, yeah.
So was it just like the same people came along every week and then had to...
Ideally, yeah.
Ideally, but they
didn't. I didn't realise it was a voluntary thing, so I thought they were going to say, right, you're going to have 12 people every week. So some people came the first week and didn't come back. Some people started a piece but then weren't back before the exhibition. So it was tricky in that respect, in that there was only a handful of people that managed to come to all three sections and finish stuff. But, yeah...
Like that with anything though, like, it's so hard for people to...
If they don't have to turn up, like, then they don't.
Yeah.
But then, I think that's the thing as well, because it was a group of young carers, there was, like, times where, you know, like, their younger sibling had been sent home from school, so they had to go look after them. Or, to be fair, it's probably, like, I find it hard to struggle, and I'm the age I am with two kids, but having to kind of either look after an ill parent or your younger children, like... You know what I mean? I could totally understand why they can't commit to every week or quite a big block of time every week.
Was the exhibition in the same space? Or?
No, it was down Theatre Nemo. They've got a kind of studio space. It's just across the road from the Brigitte in Glasgow.
Okay.
Theatre Nemo do, again, work with like mental health, but it tends to be more... drama and things like that, so they tend to work more in prisons and things, but they have a big portfolio of work that they do, so I was lucky in that they were able to offer the space for a short period of time, so it's quite hard. The project got funding from GCAN, which is the Glasgow Connected Arts Network.
Okay.
So the kind of window between finding out I got the funding and having to spend the funding was really short, so it was one of those things where trying to find a gig venue, an exhibition venue, get the workshops finished, but then also kind of frame the work and hang the work and event.
Yeah.
It was very tight, so yeah, kind of February and March have been a bit of a blur. And now the site's live. The site kind of was supposed to be the main focus of the project, but with all these extra things that kind of came with it.
Everything else rather than promoting the site.
Yeah, or like teaching workshops or, you know, hammering nails into walls and stuff that... It's live, but it's not the kind of in the condition I would like it to be. But now that I've kind of got all these things done, that's my kind of thing that I can kind of focus on now.
Yeah. I don't know, I went on the site the other day and I thought it was really nice. Like,
Thank you.
I don't know, I've got new respect for people who design websites after having to do so much stuff online myself. Like,
It's all down to the template. I just paid for a template and fired my stuff in there. I tweaked it a little bit. But yeah, if it was to ever get really big or have a lot of content, I would outsource that to somebody that knows kind of better how to do it. But yeah, websites, I know my way around them, but I wouldn't say I'm an expert.
Who are you with? What's your host? Who are you?
I use Dreamhost and probably have for about 12, 15 years for like hosting. So it's just one of those things where I think I get unlimited domains, so because I just like pay that monthly hosting amount, whenever I have a new project or a new domain, I just kind of stick it all in the one place. Because I'm quite bad for like not buying domains, I don't hoard them, but years ago, I think my first website was a site called Borderland, but like spelled as in like snowboarder.
Okay.
I was quite the tomboy.
Yeah.
And then it changed to like Rise and Shine for some reason. I don't know why I called that. I think everybody thought it was really religious. I'm not really religious. So that's probably where the band kind of music side of the project came from. I used to kind of like obviously review albums and interview bands and stuff, but I noticed that most of my interviews, probably because you've got the freedom when you're doing it for yourself to only really ask to interview bands you're into, like if it's not your job, you're not forced to like go along to something and ask mundane questions about the new album type thing. So it also included interviews with artists like graphic novelists and painters and things like that, and I noticed that a lot of my questions, a lot of things I was interested in was more to do with kind of their mental health or why they created or what it meant to them. And then I suppose that kind of made me realise that there's this kind of vulnerability. Like if you've got work that people really connect to, it's probably because you're quite open about like your feelings and emotions and things like that, but in the way that probably makes you more open to like not poor mental health, but do you know what I mean? Like if you're kind of like sensitive, open person that does that in order to create, and you're possibly at more risk of kind of like feeling things a bit more intensely. And I think people can relate to that, but then it's kind of a vicious circle, like how much of yourself do you kind of expose? So asking all these questions years ago for those sites made me realise that I still wanted that to be kind of part of the site, and I did want to kind of speak to not necessarily just bands about lyrics, but just any kind of creative about like their process and how they feel people relate to them and their work and why, and how do they use that for self, maybe as their own kind of self-care and like things like that.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's what I was going to ask you there. I feel I do this all the time. It totally slipped my head.
Okay, so I tend to go off on a total tangent. You asked me about hosting, somehow I'm now talking.
Oh, no, the reason
like
I asked you about hosting was because I don't know, like, what's a podcast and be sponsored by Squarespace, who are like a host.
Right, I have used them before.
I mean, I was going to say, I've never met anyone that's used them, but I always hear about them like.
I used them for a short amount of time. I think it's one of those things where I used them for like a portfolio site for my illustration stuff. And it's one of those things where, like, even though that's what I do as a job, I was kind of forced into it before it made like enough of an income to be a decent income or like even a livable income. So when it came to like my monthly outgoings, anything that wasn't really completely necessary, I just had to pare back on. So see things like Squarespace. I'm not saying it's expensive. It's not expensive at all. But if you've not really got any money coming in,
it's
not really. Especially if it's like maybe if you had like a shop or something like an e-commerce thing,
yeah,
and you would maybe use one of their templates to kind of, I don't know, set that up, that would maybe make sense, but to just show your work you can just use something that's free.
I'm a big fan of free.
So am I.
So it's illustrating like your career, is that?
It's what I do. I don't know, it's my career. Like I was speaking to someone today, I was quite flattered and they thought I went to art school. I didn't go to art school. Like I kind of joke that lyrical life lessons is the first time I've known what I want to do.
Okay.
And that it obviously marries my interest in music. I previously did a wee bit of kind of like journalism type stuff.
Okay.
And obviously I do art. I've always created stuff and done drawing and things in my free time, and then about 3 years ago, like I separated from my husband and we had two kids that weren't yet schooly, so I had to kind of make it my job, and that is that I would have to do something self-employed and flexible, and because I was already doing that outside of my work, it made sense to carry on doing that, but it wasn't obviously at the financial stage where that was something that was kind of sustainable. So hopefully now that they're both at school and I've got this project, and there's obviously the new avenues of like the workshops and things like that. But in terms of illustration, I illustrate under the name Lollapalooza Designs. So that's been going probably for about 3 or 4 years.
So do you just do like commissions and stuff?
I've done some commission work. I joke that my most successful thing was something I didn't intend to do, which is there's like a colouring book of Glasgow gig venues. It was originally supposed to be a calendar.
Okay.
So it was like 12 venues, and obviously a calendar has quite a short window in which it sells quite well, and then you're kind of stuck with them until the next year. And
sell them off for like 10p in January.
Yeah. You're like that, 75% off. So I started doing all the venue sketches for that, realised that I probably missed the best window to kind of get people to buy them, have them in shops and stuff. And then because I had the outlines of the venue and colouring books for this popular thing, I'm kind of cashing in on a trend, which I never really wanted to do, I kind of thought I'll just quickly make them into a colouring book. And I partnered with, I don't know if you've heard of Glasgow City Music Tours. So they do kind of wee kind of touristy tours of Glasgow. So they tell you like the history of all the venues and bands from Glasgow and stuff like that. So I contacted them and said, would they be interested and they were great. So the colour book's kind of got one page of the colour and image, and the other page is like facts about that venue that they provided. So it ended up being just like a good little like stocking filler thing, and then a few shops stocked them and things like that. So yeah, that's my most successful thing, but it wasn't intended to be what it ended up being.
What venues were there? I'm guessing there was Ballas.
I'm never going to remember the 12 now. There's Barras, ABC, Academy, Oranmore, Sleazy's, 13th Note, St. Luke's.
Academy's
there, I think that's it. I don't know. What else? Ohydro. How can I not think of anymore?
Oh,
Classic Grand. I usually try and remember them as like a map when I'm working with Glasgow.
I'd be exactly the same. I'd be. What's your favourite venue in Glasgow?
Probably the Barras, which I'm sure is most people's. I don't know, like there's something about it, and I feel like no matter where I stand, even though it's quite a big venue, like I always seem to get a decent view. I'm quite tall, but I do always seem to get a decent view. And there's something about the atmosphere, particularly if you tend to have a Scottish band, I don't know, like, what they probably aspire to play, and then you can kind of get that feeling off them when they're playing. It was the first venue I went by myself for a gig, so I suppose there's, like, there's nostalgia about the band as well, I think. Like, you always have kind of memories of your first time with the first gig or whatever.
I've got a friend that's a year older than me, and he's in the music massively the same way I am. He's been, but we went to see LCD Sound System last year, and I can't remember what he said. I think he's like, oh, this is only the second time I've been there, but I was like, what? And he's like, yeah.
I haven't been in a while. Like, I feel like, probably because I'm less in touch with what's popular these days, but I haven't been, maybe, I don't know, I can't think of the last time I went, but yeah, I haven't been in a while, not as much as I suppose I used to.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's more venues that people play, or they try to play more in these kind of places these days. I don't know. But I had met somebody who said they were quite into music, and then they said something about venues, and I said, oh, the Barras, and they were like, oh, you know, I've never been. I've never met anybody, even if like only a little bit into music, has never been.
I think the second gig I ever went to in Glasgow was with the Barras. First one was Iron Maiden, and that was at the Exhibition Centre.
Yeah.
And then the second one was Megadeth, and that was at the
Barras. Heavy metal was
there. Yeah, I was quite thrash metal in my younger days. I'm trying to think of all the bands I've seen at Barras, so it must be like...
Yeah. I think the first time I went by myself was see Stone Temple Pilots, but that was probably like 94, 95 type thing. And then I think before that I went with my uncle to see Deacon Blue.
Classic.
Keeping it. Yeah. But I went to uni down in Southampton, so I missed the kind of uni years up here, and then I moved to here like 2000.
Okay.
So my late 90s, I wasn't here.
Any good venues in Southampton?
Joiner's Arms.
Oh, I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah. I was really lucky in that. Our halls, there was like maybe six different halls dotted all around Southampton, but the halls that I was staying in my first year, like my room kind of backed onto the street the Joiners was on, so I could kind of almost see the Joiners as well. It was perfect staggering distance as a student from like the Joiners. And then a lot of the mates I made were kind of all into their kind of like punk bands and all the kind of DIY scenes, so we always went to like little shows at the Joiners. So that was mainly, I think. Any other venue is kind of like the Guild Hall, which would be kind of like the Caird Hall in Dundee,
It's funny, like, with venues, because, like, I know Joiners Arms and I've heard of Guild Hall as well, but it's just from looking at tour posters, do you know what I mean? Like, and it's just weird that, like, at this point, every major city in the UK, I probably know the venue. I wouldn't be able to tell you them, but if someone said to me, I've heard of that, I've got absolutely no idea what size it is, or what, you know.
It's the same with, like, back in the day when I used to get like the proper sized NME, it used to be like you would always like permanently be like, oh, so and so are playing. You're like, are they playing any Scottish? It's like you would have to like scroll down all the venues, so you kind of got to know all the names. It's the same with like Edinburgh. Somebody said to me, are you going to do an Edinburgh version
of the calendar?
Of the colouring book. And I was like, that, I don't know, like, because I don't really know the venues, and because so many have shut down, and because there isn't really that many venues in Edinburgh, I don't think, for that amount of time. But I don't really go to that many gigs in Edinburgh, mainly because most bands would
come to Glasgow.
But also, like, the trains are a bit of a nightmare, and I would never drive to Edinburgh. And it seems to just have, like, I know it's got a few, like, independent venues, but they all seem to be shutting down.
Yeah, Edinburgh's a weird one, I think. It's obviously the capital, but just bands just, I think, 9 times out of 10, they're from Glasgow, not Edinburgh.
Yeah. I used to go to quite a few gigs at the venue, like, you know, at the back of the Waverley, but I don't know when that shut down.
Yeah, I've never been there.
Probably the Stone Age. But yeah, that was the only kind of place I remember going to a few kind of smaller gigs, and then there's obviously at the Corn Exchange, but that's a total pain.
I've never been there.
You know?
No.
I've not been there for a long time. Yeah, as I was saying, like, it's one of those ones where I think just because of that particular train line, you were constantly looking at your watch thinking of how many songs am I going to miss, and you're just standing there going, like, you're going to have to, like, pelt it across the road and onto the train. And it used to drive me mad for that, because you're always like, I don't know.
I can't really enjoy the gig if you're,
no,
like, worried about...
No, I'm constantly looking, because I can't remember what time the train was, but you would always miss a big chunk or just be stuck, and I never drove.
I'm originally from Montrose, which is just between Dundee and Aberdeen. I remember one of my favourite bands was playing in Dundee, and I was quite pally with them. I remember they were just getting ready to go on stage. Like, so there was like a little backstage area, and they were in there, and they were just getting ready to go on as I had to leave to get the train home. So I literally, like, put my head in, and as they were all sort of like just getting ready to go on, I'm like, sorry lads, that's me off, like, alright, see you later. So, like, I literally went to the gig.
Just talk to them and didn't see them. Venues in Montrose, is it?
No. There's a couple, but none worth talking
about. Not anyone would play that you would have heard of.
No, there was a pub in Montrose I used to really love, and it was a venue as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool, and we used to have, like, a wall at the back, and all the bands that played used to, like,
right,
sign it. But now it's like a cafe, it's like a bistro.
Oh.
So, yeah. I went there for lunch one day and almost, like, cried into my veggie burger. All the memories of, yeah.
That's
drinking,
like,
there, underage, and going to gigs there.
I'm a bit like that with Dundee. Like, the place that all the gigs were when I started going to gigs was Lucifer's Mill on Cecil Street, and I don't know when. I think that's years and years ago, and then further down the street they kind of opened, like, a nightclub called Sessions. But yeah, whenever I kind of see that street, you just remember all the drunken youth.
Did you ever go to Dexter's?
No. Oh, I did. I had one of them. They had some weird club thing. I remember having, like, a laminated membership card for something at Dexter's. Like, back in the day where, like, a membership card could be just a laminated bit of card for something at Dexter's. I do remember that. I don't know what it was for.
I went to Dexter's so many times, used to play there when I was a young band. We used to go, like, get pissed on Wednesday nights when we were still at school. So would you do another Colin Big Bill event? I think, like,
I don't know. I would quite like to kind of, like, I don't know, version 2.0, the one that I've done, and it sounded unprofessional, but it was totally cobbled together. It's just like this last minute thing where I had the sketches, and I was like, oh, if I could get this done in the next few days, I could get a few printed up. It was near Christmas. I'm pretty sure I actually got them printed, like, the middle of November or something ridiculously badly timed as that. And I was like, I just need to quickly just fire this off to printers. And I got them printed. I just had to keep, like, restocking them and reordering more and more. And it's just never got to the point where I sat down and said to everybody, like, there's a few places that stopped them and saying, like, once they're gone, I'll do a better version. Not that I would maybe change a couple of the pictures, but just, like, the layout, and just, like, I would kind of want to do it better. But I don't know if that's just perfectionism, but
yeah.
Maybe a different one. Maybe a UK one.
I was going to say, even a Scottish one, like.
Yeah, because there's a few venues that people have said, oh, what about? I'm sure there's enough venues in London, but then I'm based up here, and I only really have contacts up here, so nobody would really probably buy it up here. But maybe, like, a UK one or even a Scottish one, and then I could include some of the Edinburgh places, or dingy places. But I think the other thing is, like, Glasgow's got some really, like, interesting looking venues, whereas, yeah, like, most places it's just a door.
I know what you mean. I think, like, for Edinburgh, like, Usher Hall, mm-hmm, then you got Sneaky Pete's, is quite iconic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, Aberdeen's got shite venues. The Beach Ballroom, I suppose. But that's,
I was going to say, the only places I've been to gigs in Aberdeen are the Beach Ballroom and, is it the Music Hall? Or
yeah.
That was probably the mid-90s as well.
Did you see the Music Hall?
I've seen...
The Music Hall?
Back in the day, yeah.
Television. I've heard of them, yeah.
I think it's on Charlatans in the Beach Ballroom, like, way back in the 90s. Yeah.
First band I ever saw was at Music Hall. It was a band called Him. Do you remember them?
Yeah. The wee heart.
Yeah. See, it's lucky you can't get tattoos when you're 14, because otherwise I would have had hundreds of them. All over my face, probably.
See, I think it's one of those things that once you start, you can't stop.
Yeah.
Like, I would like a tattoo, but I'm, like, super indecisive, and I don't know if I'm just too indecisive. I would think, oh, what if I regret it?
Yeah.
I suppose you could get covered up if you really regret it.
Well, I interviewed a guy a couple weeks ago, and he's got, like, a blackout sleeve, so, like, he had a sleeve done, and then he just didn't like it, so he just blocked his face all black.
I saw that guy, like, Rage Against the Scene, that's just got, like, so black.
Yeah.
It's so painful. Just thinking of the pain involved.
I'm not going to lie, it doesn't look a little bit black.
Your whole arm.
Yeah, the whole arm. I just think when it's healing, it would be a bit of a nightmare, but...
As long as... And then surely you just have to get it kind of topped up, so it goes back in a greeny...
Yeah. Just kind of like a mental image of, like, seaweed and looks flying, like, it's like a weird greeny colour.
A greeny arm. A gangrene arm. But yeah. Tattoos, not yet, no.
No.
I don't know. That's what
it's like,
I have a midlife crisis, but I'm past my
midlife now. Midlife crisis completed.
Yeah, yeah. Because
we're
doing the final
tick
in the
box. So what's next for the project, do you think?
I definitely need to get more content on the site. Hopefully, there's a few kind of interviews in the pipeline that I would like to get up there. More workshops, hopefully. I want to be able to kind of work with more kind of charities or local authorities and kind of use it as a kind of workshop template. But also, I'd like to find a way to kind of work with other artists and designers,
mm-hmm,
and maybe come up with a way to raise money for charities. Like, if there was a band that were quite happy to have one of their lyrics put into an image by, like, either myself or another artist, and then create either a print or something that involves that, and a percentage of the proceeds go into a mental health charity nominated by, say, that band, and just having a way of doing that.
Yeah, that sounds like cool.
Like, kind of, I don't know, they're just some of the ideas, but it just depends how successful or not successful it ends up being.
I don't know, you could, like, the colouring books in with that as well, because I think people say, like, I don't know, people say, like, colouring, like, books would be for, like, mental health.
Yeah.
I remember I used to, like, my old work, there used to be a lot of people used to bring colouring books and, like, do them on their, like, breaks, and I used to be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, but I mean, if that's...
I'm quite guilty of that, and then, like, I've got 2 weekends, so they're writing and they're colouring, and you do kind of sit there and go, oh, no, I'll help you, and then you'd be like, oh, do you want it back now? You're like, yeah. Maybe, like, even if there was just some way of... I don't know, it's one of those things where you have all these ideas, but it's dependent on those other things.
Yeah.
But it would be good to do that, I think. Definitely some way of trying to come up with, like, products that you could kind of sell, that you can get some to raise money for charities. But it's also, like, I suppose the lyric thing, like, I always think of, like, the therapy lyric about happy people having stories.
Yeah.
So I kind of like the idea of that being on, like, the front of, like, a journal and selling journals that say that on the front.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, so it's a part of that. I don't know if therapy would be right up for that. I mean, there's the whole problem with lyrics and kind of copyright as well, but, things like that. That's kind of my idea.
I don't know, I think there's a lot you could do with it. It sounds like quite...
Hopefully, yeah. I don't want it just to kind of be an idea, like, you know, just... I don't do something with, I, like, because it's one of those things where it was an idea that was kicking around the back of my head for ages, and I've suppose, like, the more of my heroes that committed suicide, yeah. like, the more kind of mental health and music or things were happening, and I was like, oh, I wish I could have done. Not that, like, it's good that mental health has become, I suppose, more openly discussed.
Yeah.
But there's also the concern that people that maybe aren't as educated are just like, oh, I'm going to do something about mental health, talk about mental health, and they don't really. Because it doesn't seem to be the done thing rather yeah. than like. To a genuine interest or concern or like their own personal experience. So that was a bit of a concern in that, yeah, I maybe left it too late and it looked like I was just doing it because it was kind of
yeah, I felt a bit
the
like
right
that.
Thing.
I, like, I just like, and I started doing this stuff and then just like, you know, the next day on Twitter it seemed that everyone was doing
yeah, yeah, I feel like that.
I was very, yeah, I was very aware it wasn't because I'd done it and I'd set a trend, like, I'm not saying
yeah,
that,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I just meant I felt like, fuck, like, if I missed the beat, like, about what
that was the kind of thing.
Like, just exactly what you said about
yeah.
like, I'm just jumping on a bandwagon.
That's always kind of been my worry as well, because it's like, you can't prove to somebody that you've been thinking about doing something for ages, and then you can't expect any sympathy by saying, oh, I've wanted to do this for ages, isn't bother getting off
yeah.
my arse and doing it. We're just like,
The only thing I can compare it to is when I went vegetarian, I had like the same sort of feelings. Like, I
yeah.
worried that everyone would think it was a sort of like hipster sort of like
yeah.
statement, like, just do it because Morris is vegetarian. You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
he's just listened to Taylor Smith too many times. And I thought I'm right to say that, but and I genuinely almost didn't go vegetarian because like worried I would be perceived that way. But then at the same time, I stopped eating meat because.
For your own like reasons.
Well, yeah, like, pretty much what happened was I watched a Netflix documentary, and then the next time I had a chicken curry, I felt horrendous. Like, I just, and then I tried to persevere with it for a couple of days, just because all those like feelings
yeah.
about feeling guilty, and I was like, and I would get literally stressed out eating like meat, and I was like, right, yeah, I couldn't do it, and then I was like, right, and I would tell myself in my head, I was like, you're being stupid, you've eaten meat your whole life, like, you love chicken.
Convince yourself to eat meat.
Yeah, I was like, I love chicken, stop being like such a bam. And then the one time I just like stopped and was like, right, just don't eat meat now until you feel, until like you forgot about this documentary, and that's when I stopped, and then I didn't do so.
I think that's the thing as well though, like that's probably the thing, apart from the like, I suppose people that have insecurities do worry what other people think a bit too much,
yeah.
and I'm definitely guilty of that, but the other thing is like, obviously, particularly on that Twitter account for the project, I follow like loads of mental health charities and loads of mental health. And sometimes I feel like that's not good for my mental health.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Like, because you're looking through your timeline, and everything's about like bipolar disorder day or like,
yeah.
it's okay to be okay. And you know all these things, but if your entire feed is about mental health.
Yeah.
It's not good for your mental health type thing. And it's really hard because you obviously want to be in that world and network with those people. But at the same time, sometimes it's like the last kind of like feed you want to go
yeah,
on.
I know, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Like, it's tough. Like, and I think Twitter as well, I think it just seems to be like it's on the cusp of like that sort of shame culture as well, where like people are constantly judging people and stuff, and like it's like going back to that Jenna Simmons thing, like, you know what I mean, like I said this, the smallest thing, and I didn't mean any offence to the guy, and it just comes to this massive thing. I think Twitter's like almost a scary place in that respect.
I made an absolute arse of myself like a couple of years ago. I went to a gig and there was this bunch of guys that I knew probably when I was like 16, 17.
Yeah.
And I didn't really talk to them, but they were there and kind of went, hi. And I said something totally bitchy on Twitter about how like one of them hadn't aged particularly well, but didn't really think anything of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anybody... Some of those things were just being a bitch, and that's the worst thing about social media, is you think you're all right behind your monitor. I got totally called up for it, and like one of them turns out did follow me, but obviously don't know really who he is, and they had like retweeted it and then tweeted the guy that I'd flagged off saying, oh, well, Shane, like, you do look like an old or whatever I'd called him, and I was like, oh, and ever since then I'm like, because that's probably not even like, I don't know why you do that kind of thing on social media where you think it's all right to kind of make all these snarky asides,
yeah.
and it's like, I've never done it again, I swear, but that kind of but that taught me my lesson good and proper, because I was like, oh my god, like, you can't even take it back, you can't even say like, no, I was hacked, somebody else went to school with you, do you know what I mean? Like, it was me that
I love that. I love that when a celebrity does something and then it's like, oh, my phone was stolen and I was hacked, I'm just like, yeah. Where was it? Like, that is the shittest excuse.
I can't even remember what I said. I was like, ah, well, maybe I'm just jealous because I'm like divorced with two kids, but I've got no room at all.
I say, yeah, I'm just like, just get to like that point, you just to like be self deprecating. So the way out, you just have to like,
yeah. So, no, I know exactly what you mean, but like, Twitter, like, I suppose Twitter is the one that especially I use the most for the project because it's the easiest to kind of, I suppose, retweet relevant information compared to like Facebook or Instagram or anything like that. But yeah, I think you're probably more passionate about mental health if you suffer it yourself, and people probably take you a bit more seriously if they're able to relate to you because you're quite open and honest about your anxieties or like what you're going through or how you're feeling at a certain point. But then in order to kind of, I suppose, keep your hand in, you're kind of exposing yourself to stuff that isn't great for your mental health. And it's a tricky one that I'm finding just now. Because I don't want to like not read these things and keep up to date with things, but sometimes it's a bit too much.
It's hard to find a balance as well. It's like, hardest thing is to moderate yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, put a filter on what you...
I think it's hard for me as well because, like, my other Twitter account, the one for, like, my illustration, it's definitely a bit more of my personality and moaning about, like, my everyday life. And it's probably a bit more me. And the rest of it's all to do with music and bands, because that's what all my art's about. So it's a little bit about design, mainly about music, and a tiny bit about me, and that's fine. And I think people that follow it realise that. Whereas with this one, a lot of it's to do with mental health and a little bit's to do with music. And I think the people that occasionally catch a few tweets from me about bands or gigs and bands are like, oh, okay, and then they'll get like maybe like 5 tweets about like suicide or something like that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's quite hard for me to kind of try and find the balance of try to cover both, but in a way that doesn't kind of like lose people that are really into, not you can be into mental health, but do you know what I mean? Like, they're quite happy to kind of follow along. I don't know what the balance is. You're quite good at that. Your balance.
I don't know. It's just because I'm a BAM and I like sharing stuff about like curry and TV shows. I think it's tough. I know exactly what you mean. I think as soon as you say you're doing stuff about mental health, is everyone assumes you're an absolute expert. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes it's like, you know, I'm never going to share my opinion on something if I feel like I'm ill informed.
Yeah, I was really funny. I interviewed somebody a couple of weeks ago and I knew that they had like bipolar disorder, and I would quite happily admit that like I don't know it as well as I maybe should know it or know much about it. And I was like, I don't want to ask this question that sounds really stupid, but at the same time, like, what is triggering? Like, that's the other thing as well. Like, when you're dealing with people that have mental health issues and something like that, am I going to write about something that should I, like, always put a warning before I write about a certain subject? Or are they, like, grown up enough to know that, you know what I mean? It's like, it is a total minefield. You don't want to exclude stuff that might help somebody, but at the same time, you don't want to include stuff that might make somebody worse, type of thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's really
difficult. I think it's a tough field to cover, like, in that respect, because just exactly what you said. I was just waiting pretty much for people you said to say it. But yeah, it's that thing of trying to, like, especially when you're trying to promote something you're doing as well, so you want as many people to see it as possible, but, like, no.
Yeah, because I kind of wanted to do, you know how you can get that mental health first aid certificate type thing?
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of wanted to do that just because I feel like, not, I just feel, sometimes I feel quite out of my depth, especially when there's a part of the site where obviously people can contribute a lyric and a song and what it means to them. And I've been alright in that there's been a few kind of, like, not mega upsetting stories, and one person submitted something and they wanted to remain anonymous. And it was one of those things where you're like, what if somebody did actually post something that like kind of set off my alarm bells, like that person kind of needs help, like, or like, do you know what I mean? Like, I kind of worry that, what if somebody reaches out to me, like, I wouldn't know what to do other than to try and direct them to somebody else.
But that's it though, you know, yeah. you're not. So the thing I struggle with is, you mean you're not really responsible for
other
people, really.
Yeah.
As much as you want to help people, and you know, you're already doing your bit by having a site, and I've been on your website, and you've got all the like, you know,
clearly
set up, and there's all the links to like Samaritans and all the different charities and all the different sites that can help them. So like. It is there. Like
is
I don't have that on my like social media. I probably should have that, all those links in, but I don't.
No.
And yeah, like
I think that was one of the things where I was just like, I've been to a couple of sites and they kind of had that, but because the sites that were going to were mainly charities themselves, they were like, "Well, this is how you can contact us, but we're not available, or our helpline's only available between these times. Here are alternatives." And I was like, not that I thought anybody would ever reach out, but I'm like, the chance that if somebody's into mental health or suffering with their mental health and they're looking at the site, they're probably not looking there for help, but at the same time, maybe it might lead them to look at it. I just thought it was safer to put it on there.
It's definitely, I think it's a good habit. How long has the site been launched now?
It was launched on Tuesday.
Tuesday? You've had submissions already from people?
Well, I kind of chased people for submissions.
Prior to
not chased.
Yeah.
That's the wrong word. Yeah, I kind of wanted, what do they call it, like user-generated content. But yeah, I wanted people to kind of submit their stories just so that there was some personal stories there, so that when it did launch, people could kind of see what I meant. Because it's really hard to try and like describe a site to somebody that doesn't exist. And I was saying, oh, like, there's obviously going to be, like, hopefully some interviews and just some general advice, but the main point is that is to try and get people to open up about music and what it means to them, and inevitably that usually is about, like, something that makes them happy, something that makes them sad, something that reminds them about something that's happened or whatever. So just having examples there would be good. So a few people had submitted. I don't think there's been any submissions since it launched, but there's been a few.
Tuesday's not a long time ago though. Like,
no. I wasn't expecting an inbox to explode.
Yeah. And that's cool. Like, what lyrics have been submitted so far?
I'll try to think. I could probably remember the band more than. Well, there's been a few Biffy Clyro ones, but I think that's a lot of my friends are into Biffy Clyro, so I think mainly they're my friends.
Are you into Biffy Clyro? Like their old stuff, but not.
I was about to say, I used to like. They supported one of my mates' bands in Dundee, like, totally back in the day, and I think there was only, like, about five of us there, and I was, like, that honoured, and they're, like, really good. And I went to see them, like, a few places, like, we would never play Dundee again. When they played smaller gigs, I used to go to all of them, but, I mean, I went to see them at Bella Houston and things like that, but I wouldn't say, like, I'm a massive fan, whereas a lot of my friends, they follow them about, and they're, like, front row every time, but yeah. So I think what lyrics it was, but there's been quite a few of them that have submitted lyrics by them.
Yeah.
I think what else? Alex is on fire. Yeah. That was submitted by Chris Millington, who's kind of like this. Not, we don't use the supermodel, but he's like a model and he does like documentaries and stuff. He's from Glasgow and he submitted something. I'm always pestering my friends saying, "You said you submit something." Like, I've not done it yet. And I'm like, "Oh, hurry up and do it." I've noticed that it's like, I'm one of those people that when I listen to songs, I tend to immediately listen to lyrics.
Yeah,
and obviously now that I've had this kind of sight in mind, that's kind of what I focus on, even if it's like a pop song. And then there's a few people that I got to really worried before I launched the site that maybe not everybody does that.
Yeah.
And the people that said, "Oh, I don't really listen to lyrics," tend to be musicians. And they're like that, "Well, I tend to like, if I like the music, I like the music." And I suppose they approach it from a different point of view. Because I've always written and I've always like been quite into like reading and stuff, I feel like maybe words are more important to me than your average person. But I mean, loads of people I suppose sit there are like, "No, I do listen to lyrics," but there was a handful of people that were like, "No, I don't really listen to them," or "It depends what mood I'm in," or like, "What kind of song it is," for something like that. Even if it's like a poppy song, it's still what I tend to try and
I'm the same, I'm exactly the same, like, when it was
passing
the so, but I don't know, like, do you know Arab Strap, a band?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, that's one reason I love them, and that's like Like, the music's good, but it's all really about lyrics, it's not the word, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost just about how the music reflects what he's saying in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because there's a few things like a few friends will say, oh, I don't know if I can go and see them. We're like, why? And I'm like, well, if you play that song, like, it'll totally like ruin me. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, like, that's clearly like, when he says that line, it's like, and they're like, what? Like, I've never even like listened to that. Like, what? I'm like, no, I know the song, but I don't really know the lyric. I'm like, how can you not? Like, that's the whole point of that.
Do you know the band Frightened Rabbit?
Yes.
Do you like them?
I'm not really into them, but again, all my friends are totally like about them.
I've seen people deteriorate in front of my very eyes at Frightened Rabbit gigs, and I've been there myself. Like, they're just one of those bands, I think, that
I've only done that once. It was quite recently, end of last year, the National.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so they upset me the best of times, but it was kind of, they were kind of like me and my ex-husband's band, and he got me into them like back in the day. And I thought, I really thought I would be fine. It's the first time I'd seen them since we split up, and I was like, oh, fine, because all the new stuff is obviously like new, so you've not got these kind of memories and things to share. And then the minute they started playing anything from like Boxer or Alligator, like, I was like, oh, just a wee tear. And then by the end, I was people are staring. I'm just like, I need to get out of here. But then again, I'm sure everybody that's actually was the National will lose it.
Yeah. <It's tough. laughs>
I'm not like Iron Maiden or anything, just soaking away.
Oh, well, I don't know. The first time I saw Rage Against, well, the only time I've seen Rage Against Machine, I probably could have cried just with pure joy. I mean, like, the fact that I was getting to see them.
I saw them down in London, but it was one of those weird things where, like, the doors were, I don't think they were half six, they might have been seven, but it was almost like they had no support. And we were literally standing for like about an hour and a half before they came on.
Oh, really?
And it was this horrible kind of like back and take of like jazz trumpet or something, like just went on forever, and it got to the point where I was nearly in tears, but only because I was like, I'm so tired and this is giving me the worst headache, they have to come on. And obviously when they came on they were amazing, but it's the first time I've been at a gig like so tempted just to go home. This is like some kind of audio.
I think they do that on purpose. I think they do, because when I saw them, they played Air Raid Sirens through the PA for about 20 minutes before they came on, like loud as fuck. And you know, and then so obviously, it was a festival, so the lights didn't go down, but you know, the background music cut, the screens went off, and then the cameras on the stage as if they were like, come on. And then there's like 20 minutes, there's an Air Raid siren playing.
No.
And then they walked out, and he just, you know, just walks out quite the thing. Just said, hi, we're Rage Against Machine from Los Angeles, California. And then it starts filming. But everyone, you can feel it in the crowd, and then I think they do that on purpose. Like they try and fuck the crowd off as much as possible.
Because I remember just thinking, like, I can't believe I'm tempted to like leave, but like this is just like a joke.
Yeah.
It was one of the things that it was like ever, so I was like, why would you open the door? It's like, because everybody clearly got there, like, oh no, it doesn't say anything about sport, it's been no word about sport, we better get there for like. So it was totally like rammed from about like 20 minutes after the doors opened, and it was just hours later before they came on.
Yeah, I saw the Bats at Barras. I saw 30 Seconds to Mars at Barras.
I've never seen them.
No. I mean, I wouldn't recommend that. Absolutely. So.
Are they not playing like the Hydro this weekend or something?
Fuck knows. I've not, like, by the time we get down the story, you know that I had nothing to do with 30 Seconds to Mars anymore.
Right, okay.
So the doors open, this is when I was quite young, so we got a bus from Montrose, like, we hired a bus, all of us came down, went in the gig, sport came on, watched the sport, they played for half an hour, it was fine, and then there was like, you say, like about an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 15 minutes before 30 Seconds to Mars came on, and then they came out, played 9 songs, and then he's like, oh, we'll play a longer set, but we want to do a meet and greet after, so we can meet all you guys, and like, good to meet you all. And they went off, and then like, and I mean, I wouldn't have been as fucked off if they were doing the meeting. I would have loved to have met Jared Leto at that time. You know what I mean? No, I don't want to meet him, but like,
at that time,
no. But the thing was, our bus was leaving at 11, you know, because we hired the bus going back, and it was like 10 to 11 they finished playing. So I think the support was like half seven till eight.
Yeah.
And they came on at like 10 past 9 or half 9 or something, and played till whatever time.
Yeah.
Maybe our bus was earlier, maybe it was even half 10, but yeah, we couldn't meet them. 9 songs, you know what I mean? Like,
that's the one.
Yeah. absolutely infuriating. I've never listened to him again since then. No, that was it.
Just a loud spike, like, not even getting my time.
No, like, what's funny about that though is, but then I only got into them because I saw them live. I saw them, they played Download and they played half an hour and I saw them live and I was like, fuck, they're amazing. And
then
I went home. No. I went home, bought the records, went to see them live again and was like, I'm never fucking listening to them again. So it was like a full circle.
No, Download is definitely like, I every year I say, right, I'm gonna go. I never get a ticket. I'm like, oh, it's fine. And then they start announcing the lineup, and I'm like, I don't have a ticket. And then I say, I was definitely gonna go this year, and I don't have a ticket.
No, I went 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was my sort of teens. It's a good festival. I don't really listen to that sort of style of music anymore, but part of me just wants to go just to go down.
I think
down
it was
again.
A couple of years ago that I was like proper aging, that the lineup was like that. If it was all the bands that I used to be into or still quite into, were all playing and I was like, I'm not living around. Whereas this year, I don't think there's like enough that I would be like, right, this is the year I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I think Rage Against the Machine was last year I went, and it was because they were playing.
Yeah.
Aerosmith played as well. And honestly, this is talking about mental health, this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's like, so it was blaring sunshine the whole weekend,
uh-huh.
And then about, do you know the band Dillinger Escape Plan?
Yeah.
They came on, uh-huh. They were fucking amazing.
Uh-huh.
And then it started just, the sky literally turned black and just started pouring with rain. Dillinger Escape Plan was saying, we're making rain, motherfuckers! We're making rain! And it's like, obviously, it was like harrowing, because like, it was almost true.
And then, just in the mud.
Yeah, and just like, eh. Like soaked, everyone, like, we all had to go back to our tents to get changed. You know, my phone broke, like literally because it was waterlogged. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're all sitting in our tents, we're all sitting around, like cold, freezing, and just like speaking to each other, just being like, we convinced ourselves we all fucking hate Aerosmith. Do you know what I mean? We're all like, I'm not going to fucking see Aerosmith. Aerosmith is a fucking shit, man. Like, just a fucking like pop rock band. Then after about 20 minutes of sitting there bored as fuck, we're just like, we'll just go see Aerosmith. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and it was just that mental cycle that we all went through. We were just like completely.
I did it, may not
ask. Yeah, we just like talked each other around and it's like, I fucking hate Aerosmith. Like, if Aerosmith come on the TV or the music channel, I'd turn it off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember saying that to my pal. And then, like, when we went, like, 20 minutes later, I went to see Aerosmith and it was very Aerosmith. They played Don't Want to Miss a Thing and they had, like, scenes from Armageddon. You know, it's from that, like, scenes from Armageddon on the big screen.
Be glad you went.
I mean, I've got to saw, yeah, they were entertaining, like. I'm glad I went to see Aerosmith rather than sit in my tent, like, miserable.
I never.
Yeah, like, I definitely rather know which one I would have rather done. Have you ever seen Aerosmith? No.
I've seen many, like, that kind of older rock band, I don't think.
You should go. It's hilarious.
I should before one of them dies.
Well, it's a grim note.
They've abused themselves and they're quite old, are they not? Must be what?
Aerosmith, yeah.
60s, surely.
I think so, yeah. Late 50s, I don't know. They look the same. Like, if you say they've abused
themselves. Their face doesn't change.
They've abused themselves so much. Like, they look the same.
Because they
like
aren't.
89 or something, you know. Like.
Yeah. I've got to see Pearl Jam in July.
Oh, yeah, have you seen them before?
Yeah, quite a few times.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see them in Berlin. I've never been to Berlin before. So,
cool.
So kind of, well, that's my reason for going to Berlin. I got tickets for that too. But that's the only thing I've got tickets for at the moment.
I went to see Pearl Jam in Manchester 5 or 6 years ago.
Probably about 5-ish, because I had tickets for that, but I was like pregnant. I was heavily pregnant. I was like, I don't stand or try and not be bothered. What did you think?
I loved it, yeah.
Glad you
went. You know what's funny about that was that they did 2 nights and they're one of those bands that they vary their set list so much.
Yeah.
So I saw them and their set list to Queen was like all the stuff I love. And then it was the set list of the night after the night I missed and it was like stuff I really don't know.
Oh, right, so you got the
like,
right night.
Yeah. Just like almost like a sigh of relief when I read
the set list. I thought you were ready to say it the other way around. You'd be like that, oh,
because I obviously went to it was the first time I'd been to Manchester for a gig, like,
uh-huh.
First time I travelled that far to see a band, other than festivals, but I suppose
yeah.
It's a bit different.
I went to see them at Leeds the last time they were over, and I've seen them, saw them in Dublin the time before that, in Berlin this time, because they won't play Scotland.
Yeah,
it's been like, 2000 was the last time they played. That's ridiculous.
It's bad.
thing that was annoyed me the most is that, like, they played in 2000 and he was all full of this big apologies, like, I promise it won't be so long next time. And we were like, that's 18 years, are you kidding me?
I don't know why they won't play Scotland.
Well, see, the minute, like, even when they started building the Hydro, I was like, oh, yeah, next time Pearl Jam announced a date, they can at least play the Hydro. I'm like, no.
Nah, having none of it.
Exactly, I think they're playing the O2, it's like their only UK date at this time. I'm not going down the O2. I really don't like London gigs. When I went to Uni Southampton, that was obviously, like, the nearest kind of big place to go. So I went to a few, like, gigs in London when I was at Uni. I think I've been to any. I went to see Death Cab for Cutie a few years ago. I went down because they did that thing where they're like, oh, here's our European tour, which only consists of, like, London dates.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I definitely want to go this time. Really like this album. And then the minute I kind of got that, they just announced that they were playing Glasgow. And I'm like,
that is the worst. I hate that. Glad that happened.
To be fair, I went to both, but I was like, oh man, that's such a waste of money.
Yeah. I've had that happen a few times. I can't think of any examples, but I've had it happen a couple
it's
of times.
It's the worst. You just like, do a hang on in the hope that they're going to do this extra date added nonsense, and then they don't, and it's sold out, or do you just take the plunge and go? And like, whatever you do, it's like, new dates added.
You're a phenomenal man.
Like Jerry Cinnamon, what is his, it's improved venues as well as new poster.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's in bigger venues.
I assume so, I don't know. Because I've never seen I've seen like sold out or extra day added to the man, but this one was like improved venue or upgraded venue or something. Well, that was like, never seen that on a poster.
No, that's a bit weird.
But no, I've never listened to him. Not very current in my music taste. I need to expand
your horizons.
I say that, but
maybe Jerry Cinnamon's not the way to go. I'm not saying anything else about him. But
just digging a hole.
Yeah, I don't want to get abused again. I'm gonna have to wrap this up because I'm gonna have to head off. But
no,
a couple of questions I need to ask you before we finish up.
Mm-hmm.
First one isn't one I normally ask, but favorite gig at the Barras.
Favorite gig at the Barras. Probably that first one, Stones of the Pilots.
Yeah.
I was probably about 13 or 14. I think it was one of those things where it was finally getting to see a band that you were totally obsessed with at the time, and just the freedom of actually being there without a parent like pulling me by the neck and saying you're like too close to the front or whatever. So yeah, that sticks in my head. That's probably the best part.
Do what's funny, Eric. Tell us which story before we go, but like when I went to see him, I was telling you earlier, my parents said I could go, but I had to go like seated, they didn't want me to go in.
Right.
And then we got the venue, and there was someone, like, honestly, it's one of those things you just think, how the fuck did that happen? There was someone standing there being like, does anyone want to swap three seating tickets for three standing tickets? So me and my two pals are like, aye. So like we swapped them, and then so I went to the stand there, just fucking text my mum, just like, fucking swap my tickets, I'm standing, way, like, just wind my mum up. I don't know why, just like a little wide move. And then ironically, the next time I went to a gig, I went to see Kaiser Chiefs with my dad.
Yeah.
I whited. I got dehydrated and I whited all over the OT Academy.
I did that something at the Caird Hall. I can't remember what it was, but my mum let me get a standing ticket. And so I was standing, and my mum and my auntie, I can't think what gig it would be that my mum and auntie would also be at it, but they were up in like the balcony, and my mum, like, because I waited and I had to get pulled out. And I remember my mum coming downstairs, she's like, I knew it was you because of the size of your feet when you get pulled off the bar. I was like, so complimentary.
My dad said that when I waited, like, because he's like, being like, oh, you can go off, like, up the front one, I'm just going to stand here.
Uh-huh.
So my dad said, he says, I saw this guy go past, and I was like, that guy looks pretty, like, that kid looks pretty Arab, and then he's like, oh, fuck, that's Nathan. I was like, that's my son. He goes to grab me and pull me over and get me some water. I mean, you can just imagine him being like, ooh, ooh. That's funny. Yeah.
You got another question?
Yeah. It's a sort of double-barreled question, but just,
okay.
What do you do to help with your own mental health, and what would you recommend to anyone listening to they try first?
It seems like an obvious answer, but usually music.
Yeah.
In terms of mental health, more recently, I never thought it would be the case, but running or like exercise.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go as far as running, possibly a jog. But probably because I'm so bad at it, it forces me to kind of concentrate on nothing else but trying to breathe.
Yeah.
And it is one of those things that if by chance I do start thinking about something else, then I don't find it as hard. So like, there's always a benefit that I'm kind of doing it. So probably music or running. Talking to people, but that's not always easy. Like, I'm also the only adult in my household, and social media is kind of good for that at times.
Yeah,
if you've got the right kind of network there. But yeah, probably those three, I think. Was that the question?
Yeah.
So I couldn't remember what the second part of the question was.
So thanks for meeting me today.
That's okay.
I'm sorry I was rough as shit, but... Cheers.
Hello, did you enjoy that? I hope you did. Thanks very much to Keshna for coming on. It was a lovely wee chat. She put with me being absolutely stinking, I imagine, in a Wetherspoons on a nice Sunday afternoon. I'm pretty sure I was late as well, and she was meant to be hanging out with her kids, and there's me dicking about a hungover mess. So thanks for your perseverance, Keshna. I think we got a really good chat out of it, so ace. Thanks to all of you for listening. Next week, I haven't decided what podcast I'm putting out yet. I've got loads of good ones. I've got Rich Cadden, ex Muay Thai world champion. I've got Ross Houston, who's a Cage Warriors fighter, undefeated as a professional. That might be a little while before that one comes out yet, but I'm looking forward to getting that one out. I've got one with Scott Strathdy, who is a DJ and musician. I've got Kyle Walker, who I recorded last week in Inverness. I got a whole load. In fact, I was a way to give you a little hint as to what might come out there, but what if I changed my mind? So check back on social media and stuff to see who I've decided to put out. Like I say, I got loads of good ones at the moment, so I'm not quite sure which one I'll put out, but as soon as I know, I'll let you know. That's a lie. I might not. I might sit on it for a while longer. Anyway, thanks for listening, and whoever the podcast is with next week, I know you'll enjoy it, so please come back and check it out. Cheers.